Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Another episode of Gentlemen's World back just to me for right now. Although, for your records, there are a number of guests that have reached out, and I am in the process of screening them. I got quite a few that I need to go through, and so that you have an update on situations will usher. Let me just kind of break down what's going on. Gentlemen's World, of course, is one of the podcasts at CryptoTalkRadio.net, where you can find all of our various podcasts, including Basic Cryptonomics and For the Love of Boxing. Basic Cryptonomics is occupying less time with the new schedule, so I have been able to focus on the guest screening process a little bit heavier, but also make sure that the quality is what I want. And we've had very good guests. Of course, I was able to get Miss Katie Chinakas here recently, and then prior to that, Mr. Mark Smith, and then, of course, Dr. Egypt Aradia. We've had, I think, very good conversations with them. You're back now with me because I now need to screen, and I have a very, I'll say, tedious process for the screening. But also, there's some things going on the personal side I feel it's I don't mind sharing and divulging, because it'll be today's episode, the totality of understanding. I think it goes to some of the conversations we talked about and purpose, right? And having a vision. And especially with Ms. Chinakas, it's like having drive and passion. And that all ties into today's story. And I was doing some planning and strategizing before I got on the air here. And I figured, you know what, why don't I just share this on the air, because it may inspire somebody else. They may be going through it as well. And I want them to understand that everything's okay. And if they're having it anywhere close as hard as I am, that it'll all work out. Mine, I think, is probably the worst. It's probably the biggest test of my life. I wouldn't say that I'll never come across a bigger test. I'm sure I will. But as of where I am in life right now, this is going to be the biggest test, because I'm at a crossroads. Bone Thugs and Harmony. So I want to just break down what's happening. 2021, I've said it before, I think was hard for everybody. The pandemic was hard for everybody. I don't think anybody came out of it in a better position. I think we all had to adjust. And some businesses and some people refused to make the adjustments necessary in order for us to remain sane. And I had to make a lot of adjustments. But I also expected people around me and businesses around me to adjust along with me, and that was not the case. Rather, many of them refuse to make the adjustments, and they're actually reverting back to a very sad state that we were in prior to the pandemic start, and then in the early phases. Let me break down what I'm talking about. I work for myself, of course. However, I've wanted to get back into full time primarily to have a secondary source of income, because contracts are sketchy things, right? You can have a contract and then it terminates, or something happens to the client, or in my case, the client starts acting improperly and you got to terminate the contract. There's all sorts of uncertainty with contracts. You have greater control of the situation, but then the money flow is a little bit less certain. By law, we're not allowed to do certain things under the contract, and we have to rely on the terms of the contract. Well, if some person violates one of the terms of the contracts, you kind of have to separate that relationship if it begins to harm you or your business. This applies if you're a contract W-2, as it's called, or you have your own business, or you work for somebody else. So in my case, in 2019, I had a contract executed. The client was pretty good to work with through 2019, and I used that profit in order to relocate the business to where I am now in Nevada from Oregon. And Oregon was terrible. I was thrilled to be able to pump my own gas again, and you can't imagine how much of a breath of fresh air, pun intended, it was to get out of Oregon. And I actually enjoyed some of the drive. Like Bend, Oregon was pretty cool. Northern California is always somewhat cool. Now, of course, Google Maps navigation sent me down a very scary path, but I sorted it out, and I was able to do the drive down the coast of Nevada along the border and realized that there's literally nothing out there. There's no call boxes. There's nothing. So if you're in a car that's going to break down, you're kind of toast, because nobody comes along. So I see all these ghost towns, and I see all these smaller towns, like towns so small you can walk from one end to the other in like 10 minutes. I see all this different walk of life in Nevada and in Northern California and parts of Oregon. And it was exciting for just having the experience, right? But nobody likes to drive cross state, certainly not when you're by yourself. I had to do it because I knew I needed to get out of Oregon. Nevada had what I wanted, at least what I thought, and I would be closer to the client. Everything seemed to be cool. So in late 2019, I get to Nevada, I get all settled in. There was a lot of problems with getting settled, but eventually I got past those. Everything was cool. And I got into the groove with the client. Client starts saying, we don't need to have you on site. So me coming closer to them was kind of moot. Although there are benefits to being in Nevada. Of course, number one, I can pump my own gas again. So I'm getting settled and I'm thinking this is going to work and I'll make it work. And even if the client doesn't work out, there's a lot of other clients out there, but I'm central now. I'm kind of in the middle of the tech arena. Then, of course, I believe it was New Year's Eve of 2019 now, December 31st, I had to go back and finish cleaning out my old place in Oregon because I was in a rush to get the new place set up, get all established, get the keys, because I need to have a place to drop stuff off, right? And the mistake I made was when I packed up what I did pack up, I loaded whatever would fit in the car, which I've done before. And this time I was smart about what I loaded, unlike the first time. Where I went wrong is I should have just gone full throttle. I should have just gone ahead and rented the cubes that I eventually did rent later, but I, at the time, didn't want to spend as much money as I would have had to spend, and that was a mistake. I should have just gone full in. Because on December 31st, it's late night, it was pouring rain. I'm talking storm, close to tsunami level rain and wind. It was pretty bad. And so I'm in this pouring rain, now late night, having to move all the stuff. And just to put it in perspective, my front door is nowhere near where the crate had to be. I'm around a rear piece, and so they couldn't put the crate close to my door. So I'm rushing through the rain back and forth, sogging wet, to get all my stuff as much as I could into this crate. And I'd had a little bit of help earlier on, but then they had to leave because of whatever. Fine, so I'm trying to wrap it up myself. I didn't get everything. There was some stuff that I would consider collectible at some point in the future that I had to leave behind, unfortunately. Not major deal, but stuff I would have liked to take that I didn't because they were not ultimate priority. Get the crate done, get it all locked in there. Now I'm rushing because I need to catch my plane. And you're thinking, wait a minute, so you were doing this just before the plane? Yes, that's how scattered I was on December 31st. I went because I was trying to optimize spend. I was trying to minimize how much I was spending to do this move, and that was my mistake. Rather than just taking the time and spending the extra money, I really didn't want to do it because of what was going on at the time. So now I get the crate. I tell them, hey, can you come pick up the crate? They were nice enough to accommodate me. This is kudos to UPack, by the way. Highly recommend the Relo Cube, upack.com. By ABF. So they get the crate, they get it down there. Then it turns out that now I forget something and I need to get it inside the crate. So I have to go down to where the center is that they took the crate and I have to drop this off. So I get in there and by the time I get there, basically it's time for my flight to take off. So there's no way, because you got to think about TSA, you got to think about the ticket check-in. There's no way I'm going to make the flight at this point. And I was even joking with the gal at the place that, yeah, you're not going to make the flight. Deep, deep, deep. And yeah, I did make the flight. So now I got to rent a hotel and I rent a one night hotel. And I've done this before in a place and I actually have photos of this stuff. It had one of those walk-in type showers for people that are disabled. It was the only room they had left, but it was a good experience. Had breakfast and everything else. I get up and then of course it's New Year's and I was able to get a flight that got out the next day. Come back. Now I'm trying to get settled in. I get the crate delivered to my new place and I'm unloading it and everything's starting to go smoother, a little bit smoother. 2020 hits, the pandemic hits almost full throttle. We're now in March where I've got my existing client. I had identified a new client. I signed a deal. The new client is a breath of fresh air compared to the first client. The first client's starting to play some games. To the point they're not paying me at points. It's hard to get them to pay me. They're starting to force me to do, quote, unconscious bias training, even though I'm a contractor. Like, picture if you have a plumber come to your house and you try to subject them to some sort of HR training. That's what they were trying to do. And I wasn't going to do it. So I'm having issues with my first client, but I get the second client. And with the first client, I had sacrificed my hourly rate a little bit to make the deal happen, to try to work with them because I liked them at first. With the second client, I'm like, they accepted the terms I wanted. They actually requested me directly with the vendor and everything was smooth with them. I got started. It was a great team. Loved every bit of it. Pandemic hits them hard because it's a hospital. So then they lose their spend. They can't spend any money. They can't pay me. And so the guy calls me, says, look, I can't pay you. I love what you're doing, but I gotta cut you. And no problem, I understand. I still got the first client. Well, now they're getting worse with this unconscious bias business. And so now I'm starting to feel like, okay, I'm going to have to cut this client, the first client, because I'm not going to be subject to these terms and I'm not even getting paid what I should be. So it's not worth it. It's almost like minimum wage at this point. So I have the conversation with the vendor, conversation with the client, and try to get them to understand. I find them. I did everything in my power to try to get them back on track and the contract. Even said we can renegotiate the contract and formalize it if we want, because I'm already at a discount with you guys, but you guys are not going to be mistreating me this way. It's not going to work. They wouldn't listen to me. Basically told me to kick rocks. So I kicked rocks. I terminated the contract, gave them the notice. They called me in a panic saying, what can we do? I said, it's easy. Back off what you're doing because it's not going to work. They said, no. I walked away. So now I lost the two contracts I had. And when I say the two contracts, I mean two at the same time. It was a lot of money. I was making a lot of money with just one contract. So signing the second one and then to have it yanked away because of the pandemic really started to bother me. But I figured, okay, the pandemic's going to be here a while. What I do, the nature of the way I do what I do, and the fact that it's contract and the fact that it's remote is a perfect fit for the pandemic. So I'll just simply advertise that and say, look, I can help you do the same thing. And it works better in the pandemic than it did when we didn't have it. I had a ton of businesses I talked to. Almost every single one of them, to a man or to a woman, tried to force me into an office at the time that the government specifically saying, no, don't do travel. Don't do non-essential travel. Stay away from each other. We cannot do that. You're going to help spread this thing. But the businesses won't do remote at this time. This is 2020. They're not doing it. They refuse. They actively refuse to do remote. They're still forcing it in office. There's all these outbreaks because you have somebody who catches it, gives it to their kid. Their kid goes to school. They spread it to the other kids, even though they're not showing symptoms because they're asymptomatic, but they can then spread it to their parents, right? And then the parents take it to the workplace and the cycle repeats. So I already know this is a risk and I'm not going to do it, especially because the work I do doesn't require that I do it. So I'm telling them, I'm at this point yelling in some cases, look, this is dangerous. You're going to endanger lives. We're not going to do that when we don't need to. The nature of the work doesn't require being in an office. And the only reason you want me there is so that the project manager can group think in a meeting. That's a waste of time when you're creating this risk. And they wouldn't let it go. It wasn't until very late 2020 that we started seeing more businesses start to embrace reluctantly remote work. And even then, it was still kind of, well, we really don't want to do it. And then they pulled back hiring. So now full-time employment's affected. My contract's affected because I can't get anybody on the contract side to sign a deal. So then I still had a nest egg. I had some money stacked up from my previous contracts. And I said, okay, I'll just weather the storm. Early in, I think it was late 2020. Yeah, late 2020, very, very late 2020. I decide, let me go ahead and hire a couple of people, some younger folks. I want to help them make some money. It's tough times. And I want to mentor, help them develop some skills so that when this thing passes, they can take that and they can run with it. If that's the least I can do, because I do have a pretty good nest egg here. So I hired two young folks, one young kid, guy, one young lady. Onboard them, get all set up, do the orientation face-to-face, and then it's all remote, and I'm helping them learn about marketing, and I want to get the young man into sales, and I'm doing all this and trying to help them out and be, you know, that kind of guy. And unfortunately, at this time, despite they helped me rebrand, they helped me create a logo, they helped me do all this, I think they did a great job, but I still can't get these businesses to sign a deal. No matter what I try to do with all the marketing and outreach and talk, I can't get them to sign a deal. They all want to force me into an office, or they're lowballing it, or they're just completely closed. So no matter what I do, I can't get any of them to sign a deal. So I eventually have to let the two of them go. And I didn't want to do it, but I have to let the two of them go. I have no choice. Now, while they were hired, I spent a lot of money with them. We're talking benefits, we're talking salary, we're talking hardware, we're talking software, licenses, you name it. I had to do it. And then, you know, of course, the filing. So I spent a lot of money to bring these two on, money that could have gone to me, but I chose to give it to somebody else. So now 2021 comes around. And in 2021, my nest egg is starting to deplete because now I've used some of this money, roughly 2/3 of it, to support this hiring that I did that I didn't have to do, but I chose to. And now I got to kind of support myself while I wind down the business because I see these companies are not going to sign a deal. No matter what I do, it's not going to work. It's a different era. No problem. I'll just move on and do something different. So no matter what I'm trying to do, they're not listening. They're not playing ball. I'm working to wind down the business. I'm doing the paperwork and everything to kind of settle things. And I got it to the point where it's still a federal business, but I wind it down the state of Nevada at least. That helps somewhat, but then I'm starting to deplete. Now, in the midst of all this, because of the various aid programs that were released by the government, I'm entitled to a lot of money from the government, from the state government, from the federal government. I'm entitled to a lot of money. I got some of it from my local county, some of it from my city, some of it from the city of state of Colorado, some of it from the state of Washington. So I have money that was all over the place, and I was able to get some of that. But because of the level of spend, it doesn't really last that long. So I need this other money that's waiting from these government agencies, some of which I've been waiting for close to 2 years now. And I'm realizing that that's not going to happen in the short term. Meanwhile, I got to kind of solve something and figure something out. And I'm recognizing that being in Nevada was a bad decision. At the time, it was a good decision. But then my client changed gears and started making things harder rather than easier. So I don't regret leaving Oregon at all. I love being able to pump my own gas. I love the freedom of that. I love decent pay. I love good, decent weather. Like, I love all these things. I love actually having air conditioning. So I don't regret leaving Oregon. I do regret coming to Nevada, because what I should have done in hindsight is I should have gone to Arizona. Let me tell you why. Nevada doesn't really have anything going for it other than tourism and hospitality. So if you're the kind of person like myself that works in a STEM type career or business or management, they don't really want to hear from you. That's okay. But it's something I had to take away and say, I should have realized I needed to go to Arizona and not Nevada. Nevada just happened to be closest driving distance to the client. I didn't need to be closest driving distance. I could have been a little bit further, and Arizona wouldn't have been too much further. I could just take the train and get to that same destination. It just would have taken me a couple more hours more. That's what I should have done in hindsight. Arizona would have done a better job taking care of my business and taking care of me than Nevada ever has. And now we got this, the idiot, the governor, who doesn't know what he's doing, who's lied over and over again. Hopefully we'll get out of office, but I can't wait for that. And even if he does get kicked out of office, like I hope, his replacement's going to have too much work to clean up the mess that he created. So many businesses that have lost, that are shut down. And then mine, that's kind of, it's here, but it's not. It's not conducting business because we've got all these now mandates and things that he introduced. So it got me thinking, given where I'm at, I've got a choice. I can stay the course and work through it and see what happens, or I can just get out of Nevada. And that's what I've been pondering, is do I get out of Nevada? And if I do, where do I go? And I've narrowed it down. It's probably going to need to be either Arizona or Texas in the short term. And then I have to think about what the long term looks like. And I'm leaning more towards Texas. Texas has its own issues. But the reason I'm leaning towards Texas is that Texas seems to be a little bit more receptive to my type of business. But I'm having to think about so much now, because the crossroads that I referred to at the beginning of this episode is I can stay where I'm at. And if I stay where I'm at, I'm going to have to fight the government and keep fighting, which I've been doing for years. Or I can up and leave. I won't have to fight the government because it'll just happen when it happens. And I'll be in a different place. And I won't have to deal with Nevada nonsense. And I'll be under, you know, a government that actually cares about its people and cares about small business. There's that. But I'm starting over again, because now I won't have things like tenure, right? When you set up a mailbox, let's say you do a postal service or something, or you need to set up a bank account, or you need to set up something else, they're going to expect tenure, how long you've been here. And then, of course, going through the headaches of the DMV and registration. And there's so much that depends on you being there for a long period of time. I lose all that. So that's a thought. Do I take that chance just because I have to start over? Because unfortunately, it didn't work here. I tried, and it simply wasn't working because I can't get anybody to sign a new deal while I'm here. I don't think it's because I'm here. I think it's just that many of these businesses, they don't agree with the way of things, which is we should support remote. We should allow people to work wherever they can get the job done. As a contractor, we're not going to be able to tell you what to do. You're here to get us the work done, and that's it. I think a lot of them are struggling with that. So the other branch of the crossroads is, do I take the chance to start over, knowing that I could go to a place that's cheaper, buy a little bit more time, and maybe even start up a physical business. Like, these are all things I have to think about. So that's what I'm currently tussling with right now. And as a result, fortunately, the schedule change that I did for Basic Cryptonomics and Gentleman's World made it easier for me to pick where I'm going to do this, if I'm going to make a move A or B, because I can basically take the Saturday and Sunday, figure out what I want to do, even part of Friday, because Friday there's one recording for the Love of Boxing. That's a 30-minute, maybe an hour at the most. I got the rest of the day plus Saturday and Sunday. If I need to do something like this where I may need to uproot and move, where you're not going to lose my next recording of the episode, I'll just, the next time I'm back in the vicinity of internet, I can just upload that audio recording, and I can even record it on my phone and then do post-process cleanup, and I'll still get pretty decent quality out of it. Worst case, if I had to record while on the road. Of course, when you're on the road, you don't have the same access to internet. And if I take the train doesn't have wireless on it. So the reason I told you that story is two-part. One, you might be or might have thought of doing some similar type of a move, relocation, whether for business or for personal or anything else. And now that we're kind of coming out of the pandemic somewhat, not really, but somewhat, now these conversations are coming up again of, what do we do now? How do we change in order in this new, quote unquote, new norm? It's not really a new norm, but we know we have to make changes because a lot of these companies around us are not willing to change. And sometimes we have to just go where we're going to be respected and treated correctly, whether that's because it's too expensive where you live, or maybe family somewhere else, or whatever the motivation, we may have to make a decision where we have to do that kind of uproot. And nobody wants to do it, but sometimes it's necessary. So that was one, is to at least share that that's part of my story right now, as I'm thinking about whether I need to do that, and whether I should do that, and whether it makes sense to do that, and what are the ramifications of me doing that. It's going to be somewhat of a painful process because of the fact that the DMV basically is terrible in every single state. We know this. The registration that needs to happen, applying for a home, all these things that you have to do, you're basically starting over every time you do it. So I got to figure that out. That's part of it. The other part of it is businesses and why the businesses don't want to do remote work when you don't need to be in the office, or why they're, like I just saw on LinkedIn, there's thousands of jobs on LinkedIn. There's thousands of jobs on Dice. There's thousands of jobs on Indeed. There's thousands of jobs on Simply Hire. There's jobs all over the place. And yet we consistently see on LinkedIn tons of people who swear they can't get a job. And I believe them, because it seems like that jobs get posted, but they never get filled. And you'll see the same job over and over. And when you dig into it, what's happening is that the business will post a job before they have the budget approved, which doesn't make any sense. Because if you don't have the money approved, you can't pay that person. So why are you posting the job? They're doing it so they can collect resumes. That's what they're doing. But it strings the applicants along. So then you get all these people who say, look, I've applied to hundreds of jobs and I'm not getting any hits. It's because they're not budgeting correctly. They can't really pay people. And you should be concerned if you have companies where they're not able to pay for the roles that they publish. Then you get other companies like, say, Walmart, right? Walmart will readily hire people, but then the pay isn't that great and the working conditions aren't that great. Say Amazon, where you hear stories about them having to pee in cups and cans. Okay, that's pretty bad working conditions. So on and so forth. Target is another one. Target, they put you through a lot just to work there for very low pay. So now people are having to choose, do I take a low pay something just to get work, or do I lobby to get these businesses to raise the prices and raise the salaries and to embrace remote work, knowing that really all of this is caused by the Biden administration when he went up on the air and said, come on, man, what are you waiting for? And threatened the businesses and told them to basically discriminate against people, and the businesses freaked out. And so now the employee is put out, the employer doesn't get what they need, nobody really wins. So as I'm watching this and I'm in that situation of trying to get some contract business and I can't get them to play ball because they're trying to dictate to me like I'm a worker and I'm not, or even if I went to go full-time as kind of a secondary source, now I got to play with the ones that don't want to do remote work on the side, which is just spinning me back over to contract. And then of course there's the podcast, speaking with you guys, speaking with the Basic Cryptonomics team, speaking with the For the Love of Boxing listeners. The podcast I currently don't charge for and have no intentions of directly charging for, except as value add, but it was not part of my immediate plan to do it because I wanted to build up listeners and get audience. To me, that made better sense. However, I also still need to do the day job. What does the day job look like? I don't know yet. That's what I'm trying to solve. So the other part of that branch is I'm seeing how employers and contract businesses that would work with contractors are treating people, which is they're basically cutting off their own nose to spite their face. They're not open and receptive to doing what's necessary to get people into the work so that the work gets done, even if it means that they can't work the way that they did before and they accept the new norm. I'm not seeing that they're accepting the new norm at all. It seems like they're still fighting it. They're still resisting it, especially now. Especially now that we have the whole Russia-Ukraine situation. I think that's made a lot of them hesitant to hire. I think with the cryptocurrency situation, that's caused a little bit of turmoil. And you're like, how is that related? It's related because with cryptocurrency, given the rise of it, but also the rise of scams in cryptocurrency and more people that are talking about it, generally speaking, businesses are wondering, should we get into it? Is this going to be the future? Is banking going to go that way? How's it going to change our finances? How's it going to change how we hire people? So now they're distracted, I believe. And that's also playing a factor where they're not focused on what they need to do to just get people in there. The other thing is when they screen applicants, right, they don't look at, okay, who's the first person that comes in here who meets my needs? That's who I'm going to offer the job. Instead, it's you could have somebody who's a perfect fit. Everything on their resume matches the job description to a T. And they tell you they love that person upwards and downwards, but they don't hire them. Well, let's wait a little bit longer and see who else we get. And then eventually somebody else comes in who has a greater college degree, who has more years, or let's say younger, I should say more years in college. They're younger, they're fresher. And so then that person automatically gets the job offer. And you're like, what the heck's going on? When you look at the salary, I called out on LinkedIn, there's jobs that'll basically pay you $40,000 a year, but they're requiring a bachelor's degree. Okay, if you have a bachelor's degree, it probably costs you $40,000 in loans to get that. So why are we allowing depressed salaries? That's another byproduct of the fact that they're not changing. They're not shifting to embrace a new normal, which should be that they are competing for you as an applicant. They want you to apply. They want strong candidates, and they're going to go out to the first one that meets it. And they're going to negotiate with you to make sure it's fair to you. Ideally, we would see the return of things like pensions. Why? Because pensions are long-term stability of the person. We're seeing less. We're seeing the 401k match go down to the bare basic safe harbor 3% rather than the 6% that used to be the standard there. We're seeing that healthcare and the benefits of healthcare, the copay is so high, you might as well not even have it. We're seeing that there's a degradation of the benefits. We're seeing that salary is going down. We're seeing there's a resistance to hiring at all. And when they do, there's a resistance to remote. When they do that, there's a forcing something in your arm. They're not accommodating the worker. They're not welcoming the worker. They're not doing it to where it takes care of you. They're doing it where it takes care of themselves. They're preserving themselves, which is causing them to make a wrong decision, hire somebody who's not the right fit, who just happened to look good. And I literally mean their physical looks, or they're young and they're fresh and they're fresh out of college. And so they think that's going to be the one that's got the energy to do the job. And they'll overlook people who are older, people who are disabled, people who are not the right gender. We know that happens because you can see on places like LinkedIn where they say, you know, 60 some odd percent of employers would prefer to see a picture when they screen somebody. Think about it. Why do you need to see a picture to know whether somebody can do the job? You don't. You want to see the picture because it allows you to discriminate. And that's what we see is a lot of times people are discriminated even though they're a perfect fit for the role. So all of this got me thinking. I can, in my branch, I can stay knowing that that's the thing, knowing that I'm up against that from a contract perspective even. Or I can up and move knowing I'm still going to encounter it there, but at least the price to be there is lower. I can ideally look for a place that has laws that try to actually protect the worker, but there's not many states that have laws that protect the worker. Most of them protect the business. So now it's that decision, and I have to make that decision, and that decision will need to be made by the end of the week, preferably, because again, I can't wait on the government any longer than I have done. And things like mail and phone and everything is kind of up in the air, because everything depends on something else, right? Like your mail depends on a physical building. I have mail services that don't depend on a physical building because I already know this is a risk. However, those cost money. So I need to make sure they're paid so that I continue to receive mail so that I can continue responding when things happen. Same like the phone. The phone requires, it assumes, right, that you're paying a monthly bill. Now I have a phone that doesn't have a monthly bill, but that then requires internet access, which does require a monthly bill. I've solved that problem, but it's, again, one of those things where I have to have a plan B because what happens if that internet goes out? Today, I've got four different internet providers because they've gone out at different times. In the future, I can't sustain that. I've got to get a better, smarter approach to where I'm no longer having to worry about the loss of internet at any point. I don't know what that'll take. That's also playing into my decision whether I move or not, because out here, the internet's less likely to go out, but I also am not able to get the speeds I need. I can go somewhere else where I can get fiber, but then I have to consider the price and whether it's worth paying that money for something I'm pretty sure is going to help me with the stability aspect of it. And then mail is just mail. Mail is always a problem. So these are things I'm going to be working on the rest of the week. And I wanted to share the story because I'm not ashamed to share the story that it's a hard time. If it's a hard time for me as a contractor, I can only imagine how hard it is for somebody that's truly trying to do full time, especially if you're older on the spectrum or you're disabled or your gender is not necessarily male or your race is not necessarily Caucasian, say, because it's, I think there's a lot of excuses being done to not hire people and not bring them back into the workplace after we're getting past the pandemic, but also embracing the new normal. And that's just making it hard all the way around, and that increases dependency on the system. And I think we need to decrease dependency and allow people to have independence of wealth and get back to a point of stability that I don't think we've seen for many years. And I don't know that we'll get there in the current administration. All I can do is hope. Meanwhile, I'm going to continue doing what I've been doing because I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I enjoy doing the podcast. I enjoy doing technical work. For the most part, I enjoy working with business process improvement, helping businesses do better. I enjoy education. I enjoy sharing stories. I enjoy all of it. Whether I'll be able to do it and be profitable doing it's a different story. And so I just need to adjust and be liquid like water. That's where I'm at now. Hopefully this has been enlightening. Hopefully this has been inspirational. And hopefully this clarifies, because I won't be able to speak with you because, of course, Gentleman's World is every Monday and Wednesday. So I won't speak to you again until Monday. I'm going to be screening guests, so I may or may not have a guest on Monday. I'm not sure yet. It depends on if I do select one and there is a recording. You will hear from me on Monday. I just can't tell you whether or not I'll be this excellent quality of audio or I'll be coming through my cell phone as a pre-record. But I can guarantee you I'll be back on Monday with the next episode of Gentleman's World. I look forward to sharing more stories. I also look forward to having our next guest on the show. If you're new to the show, I do strongly encourage you to go back in the archives, listen to Katie Chinakis, listen to Mark Smith, listen to Dr. Egypt Aradia, because they have stories that I think each and every one of us comes at a different angle with what we've done in life. And I think it's good to hear it from different perspectives, not just my own. However, I always will have a story to tell. Notorious B.I.G. Take care.